We are an imperfect couple, keeping it real, loving Jesus, loving each other, laughing our way through life, and figuring it out together. Hoping our stories can encourage and uplift others in their marriage to thrive and succeed, knowing they're not alone.
All right, well, welcome everybody.
Welcome everybody.
To another episode of Real Love, Real Stories with the Bozos.
Woohoo! You said it right.
No, I didn't. I said Bozos, babe.
No, you said Bozos.
No, you can re-listen.
We'll re-listen to the tapes when I edit this 75 times.
Okay, anyways, today we have a really amazing couple that we know, and they're going to really just dive into blended families. We've seen them walk it out, and we've seen them go through different challenges, and it's just been awesome to see how God has used them and how God has like restored just their family dynamic and their marriage, and just they have so much that I know that they're going to just bless you guys.
Yeah, and they're also my grandparents.
So. Easy, Sonny.
And it's Michaela and Saul.
Yeah.
So why don't you guys introduce yourselves, and what other question do we ask?
And tell us your love story.
Oh, and tell us your love story. Yeah, how you guys met.
Start off with that. Okay.
Well, I'll introduce us. She's the better detail storyteller for the big part. But
that's true.
I'm Saul, and this is my wife, Michaela. And we've been married almost 11 years this November.
Yeah.
Very nice. And how'd you guys meet?
So 12 years ago, we met because I was teaching at a gym. And he came into my Zumba class, you guys. And a guy coming into Zumba.
Hips don't lie.
His hips certainly didn't.
Hey, this white boy can move a little bit.
He actually can. Like, he's a pretty good dancer.
Oh, okay. From your rap days, I guess.
Yeah, from your rap days. That's true. But his sister actually...
I don't know if that was a joke.
No, it's real. He's a Deuce Trey.
That's a different
thing. We're gonna drop a diss track after this recording's done today.
Number one hit single. For sure. Coming.
Okay, sorry. Though.
So his sister actually was... Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are we looking at you guys or are we looking at the camera?
Both.
Both, yeah.
Both and, got it. Okay, so he actually...
And we'll be keeping that in the podcast, by the way.
Awesome.
It's not a big deal.
Okay.
This is, remember, this is all natural, just conversation.
Oh, yeah,
so
okay.
Just whatever
we
goes.
We just, like, pretend that they're all with us.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
They're sitting in front of us.
Yeah, they are. So... His sister was a student of mine for years, and so one day he said, hey, I want to come work out. What are you doing? And she said, well, I'm going to my Zumba class, so you can come. He's like, okay, sure. And so he came to my Zumba class, and of course, he stuck out like a sore thumb in a good way, like a fun sore thumb.
He was the only boy.
The only boy that day. I did have a couple of guys.
Man, sorry, Saul. Man.
Yeah, I probably was the one of the only boy. Men for a while. There were some other males there.
Yeah. Okay. So I was trying, because usually when I have a new student, I would look at them, try to make eye contact to help them not feel so stupid for not knowing what they were doing right away. Yeah. But I wanted
and
to
I
make
kept, I was like, man, she's still looking in this direction quite a bit.
I was.
So I don't know. Well, you just said you were by saying you were making frequent contact with making sure I was doing it. And I was thinking.
We have a different way of how this happened, guys.
She's sure looking over here quite a bit. So I don't know.
I was just being nice.
Yeah.
And a great teacher.
Made me feel welcome.
You're welcome. I did. I married you. You're welcome. So
it worked out in your favor.
Yeah, that's the funny part.
So anyways, I was trying not to make so much eye contact with him because I didn't want him to think that this was any kind of sort of flirtatious thing. So I was he thinks I made a lot of eye contact. I can assure you I did not. And so afterwards, his sister comes up to me and says, Michaela, this is my brother Saul. He is a divorced, single dad of three kids. He's a great Christian guy. You have to help me find him a wife.
That's not what she said.
That
is
she did say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was funny leading.
Thing. Yeah.
That's like, crazy.
The best story.
You did your part.
That's an interesting way to meet somebody.
Well, then followed by what I said, because I am a very forward person. Mm-hmm. Usually,
that's what grandmas do, though. So.
Yeah, we don't hold back as grandmas.
Sometimes
we
don't. Just have to take out their teeth first.
And so I said to him, I looked him up and down, and I said, "What's wrong with you? You're so darling." So I wanted to know why he was single, because I was like, "What's wrong with him?" And I said that to him.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, cool. Very tough way to meet somebody, you know, when they're saying like, "What's wrong with you?" Well, hey, nice to meet you. What's wrong with you?
Did you end up sharing?
Well, he looked pretty sad.
Or were you just like, whoa?
No, I was just like, okay. I mean, because at the time I was looking for a workout, you know, because there wasn't any interest in us romantically. She was she was married, and I was just in there to work out. But I was, you know, thinking about doing some having a business and looking for a Zumba instructor. So I was like, man, this lady has tons of energy. Look at this 40 people in this class, like just getting down with this music. This is a fun class. She's very personable. So this is somebody that I could see why this class is so full.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting to know her, figuring out how many, like, people come to her class and different followers. I was like, okay, she's got a lot of energy. Let's, you know, meet her. And just, you know, met her one day, that day, and, you know, kind of really think nothing of it for a while.
Yeah. So that is the thing. So I was at the tail end of my marriage that I ended up getting divorced. And it actually, it's really weird how things we had met. And then my dad had suddenly passed away a month later. And Saul and I had started working together, and things in my first marriage were so bad for so long. He was very abusive, and unfortunately, I thought for 6 years I went to therapy out of our 9-year marriage, and I thought if I changed myself enough, that will require him to change. And unfortunately, that didn't work. And so every time my therapist would say, "You need to get out of this marriage," I was like, "I need to find a new therapist, because I'm not getting out of this marriage. I got to figure out a way to make it
committed.
Work."
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, back to the story. My dad ended up passing away. So Saul and I met in June. My dad ended up passing away suddenly in the end of July. And that changed the trajectory of my life. And I ended up getting separated the day my dad died.
Oh, wow.
And legally separated, I think, a few days before my dad's funeral. So because Saul and I had been working together at the time, and, you know, side note, you know, when you think about going into a new relationship, you definitely need to be walking with the Holy Spirit, because it's not always the wisest decision to, you know, start dating if you're not recovered from your previous marriage. Right. And these are all things that, you know, Saul and I had to walk out and thankfully have wisdom and are continuing to get wisdom on now, 11 years later. But when my dad's funeral happened, I was legally separated at the time, and my soon-to-be ex-husband, though, was there, and he was there. And so that was really fun and interesting. They met in the hall, and my ex-husband knew that I had been working with him. And so he knew of Saul and everything. So that was cool. I had both husbands at the funeral.
Well,
and neither one of us died, too.
It's not a movie.
So.
Yeah, this is a true story.
Yeah, not
edit all of it out.
Not normally the way that you would think that you'd fall in love and realize, like, man, what is this connection? You know, because we had met. Well, I don't know. I guess the Facebook messages were probably one of the first things that started one of our connections. We kind of connected on Facebook. And I was with my sister at a restaurant, and we started talking about Michaela, and I ended up messaging her or friend requesting her or something. And then we just start kind of connected, and we met, and the connection was like something you don't really plan on. Because where both of us were, neither one of us were like, "Hey, let's plan this relationship and let's start a relationship." it just kind of happened the more we talked and connected and fell in love from her story and my story from where we were currently, where we were just prior to our meeting recently within the stories that we had with just, you know, where my life was. And yeah, just built this connection on just friendship and love and laughter and just her just charm and wit and the spirit about her when she can just involve so many people. And I felt like for having friends that she has that are so deep and connected, she must touch people very deeply that makes people feel like she's a good friend. So, and that's not normal with a lot of people. So I knew that, you know, she's caring, compassionate, beautiful. She can dance. She has a lot of energy. I mean, those things are, you know, kind of fun and exciting, you know.
Yeah.
Most people don't have the grooves like you.
That was such a grandpa thing to say.
Most people don't have the grooves like you.
So when you were, because you probably knew that you needed to be separated from your first husband at that point, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you were just holding on to hope that it could potentially work out on his side, because you're like, I'm doing these things to change. And then, so I mean, obviously, I'm assuming your life wasn't great every time you went home, because it was just like, you know, the same old, like you're changing, you're getting the counseling you need.
Yeah.
But he's staying the same.
Yes.
So it was pretty much over for a long time.
Yes, I would. I got pregnant when I was 19. And so we got married pretty quickly after that. And because I just thought, you know, like that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't saved. And so I then, you know, started to walk a very different path of what I ever imagined, because I grew up a Christian.
Yeah.
And I would say probably, well, before we were even married, it was very bad. It was a very bad decision to marry him.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for the two children I have with him, of course, but it was a very, very, very painful time in my life and took a lot of therapy. I would say probably even maybe just this past year I had a breakthrough with healing. And it's been, I've been apart from him for 12 years. And you know, I'm 40, so it's not like I'm super old, even though I'm your grandmother.
But you were young when you were with him too. So it's like,
yeah, it was
that was such a pivotal transition anyways. And then you were married to somebody that wasn't like God's highest and best for you.
No. And you know, not even God's highest or best, but he also had some mental health challenges that I wasn't aware of until we began our divorce process. And then he told me of them, and I was like, that makes so much sense. And you never were on medication, because you know, people, mental health is a real thing. And you know, God uses a lot of different avenues to get healing and to be able to walk through that. And it shouldn't be a shameful thing. But a lot of people do live in shame, but you can be a very, you know, you could be an adult living in civilization and be totally great with people if you find the right therapy, the right medications and things like that. And so unfortunately that just never was the case. Still isn't the case. And, you know, so I definitely, it was over a long time before. And actually my final therapist, the therapist I had through my divorce, was like, this is going to be harder on him, my ex-husband, because you've been gone a long time. And he's just now like, oh, this is over. So I think that's why I was able to pick up with my life and move on pretty quickly. And also my dad's death really was a pivotal moment in my life, because when it happened, the way that my ex-husband reacted was so unbelievably, there's no other word to say than abusive. And could not have been more controlling, could not have been less supportive. And that made me go, this is never going to change. My dad literally just died. And he's like, making it about him.
One of the, like the one of the worst things. That could happen to me.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And so walking through that and seeing who, like
this is not going to change. Not ever. There's not ever going to be a moment where it's like, I can be different enough for him to change. So it was the best thing for me and my children to walk away from that. And I still think it was probably one of the most powerful moves I could have made as a mother. And I think that when I see a lot of women now who will stay in relationships that, you know, obviously God is not for divorce, and not because it's not because he's like, you must follow this rule, but because it causes such amazing pain in someone's life and the family and the children.
Yeah.
Even if you guys are cordial and there's immense pain and trauma from that, that you will ultimately have to walk through, and your children will each individually have to walk through.
Even if you have it as an adult, like
absolutely,
you know, I still like am figuring certain things out as my parents divorced as an adult.
Wow.
That I'm like, oh, you know, just navigating a different.
I can't even
scenario.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's.
I mean, it's it touches not just the decision. Your decision is not just your decision. You are touching the lives around you.
Yeah.
For a very, very long time, probably for eternity here, like what your life here on earth.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say fast forward 12 years from those moments, and now looking at where the children are in our lives and where their lives are. And not knowing what they could have been, but knowing, well, look at where their father's life is and seeing what the kids, I mean, I feel like these, my stepchildren are God's gift to me to take other kids that were in a situation that they needed a way out of at some point.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's making me emotional.
And to let me step in and be a dad to kids, one, you know, one, which is interesting, one doesn't talk to me and one wants to take my name. So just the kid dynamics are so dramatically different, even in the same household, which is part of a blended family. You have so many different dynamics that affect the same kids under the same roof differently, which is huge. And you got to know that about individual kids. But, you know, it's just been a blessing, but also the most challenging things that I've ever had to do is be a step parent, but also be a husband to the step blended family has been the hardest things I've ever had to deal with.
Yeah.
But knowing what she got out of and from herself, even the triggers that her prior relationship caused trickled into our relationship, because there'd something would happen and I'd be kind of like, it seemed like a big reaction to me because of maybe something I didn't feel that would need that. And she's like, yeah, that really shouldn't have been so big, but from my past relationship that had gotten into me so much that when you do that, I freak out, or that's my, you know, tipping point. And so we've had to learn to navigate circumstances and different things in communication, trial and error, knowing and loving our differences, and just loving each other through our hardest days too.
That's good. So how, like, unpacking yours a little bit, how long were you divorced when you ended up meeting Michaela? Like, because did you have custody of your kids? Were you kind of splitting time with your three kids, or what did that look like?
A lot of different stuff. But at the beginning, I was probably divorced only a few months, but my divorce actually started about a year and a half prior. So
it had been going on for
about a year and a half.
It's kind of,
especially with kids involved.
I've realized that. Cause it's not, you could be in the courts for like 2 years or something, just even longer.
I mean, we're 12.
I mean, I can't imagine.
Well, that was my life, going to court about, you know, every couple of weeks to a month. A few years straight of just child support, custody, this and that, this argument. So it was, and that's the thing Michaela was just talking about, why divorce is so painful for, you know, a father like me, who realized recently why I value fatherhood so much. Mm-hmm. One is because I miss being a father to mine a lot, but I think it was also me and my dad spent a lot of time together in my childhood and even through my early adulthood. And that connection really made me think, you know, being a father is really important, and I love that connection. And I didn't get to be a father to my three boys as much as I would have liked because of the divorce. And that's what that pain of divorce can get to. And, you know, having a new family with Brooklyn and Lincoln kind of really helped us, you know, or helped me just have other experiences as a father that I never got to have because of the divorce.
Yeah.
Those are the pains that, you know, I've asked the Lord, you know, a lot, like why I go through these pains to not be a father, not have these children, and look at them now and sometimes realizing, you know, I didn't have much of an influence in their life a whole lot because I wasn't, they didn't seek me out as much and really had, I gave them the say a lot of times to come over or not come over, and they chose not to.
When they were older.
Yeah, when they were 12 to 13, I just said, you know, you guys can either come over or not. I'll let that be your choice because I'm not going to stand here and make you stay. And it got really confrontational with my ex and things that have lasted, you know, over a decade. Yeah. And like I said, I might be still going to court, and it's been, you know, 12 years, and it's,
and the kids are adults.
It's about over, which I'm super thankful.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot of things from it, and it's been, you know, a whirlwind. But I think staying close to God and trusting Him. And when he said, make this decision, Saul, he said, let your kids decide. And they will choose not to come over. And you're basically giving away your children by their own choice. But you want them to want to come over when they're adults, when they're 25, when they're 35, when they're 45. You're going to want them to choose to come over rather than them being forced to. And if you make them come over now and your reaction is bad for them, they may not want to come over when they're 25 and 35. So just, you know, let them choose, because I let you choose. I don't make you go to church. I don't make you pray. I don't make you read your Bible. I let you choose when you want to do that. So you need to do the same thing for them. And that was pretty much like, I don't want to do that, but I'll do that because I needed peace in my home and let them decide. So those choices, hopefully, you know, it hasn't really come around full circle yet. Yeah. They've wanted to come over, which I know is great because it's them wanting to rather than have to. But they're still teenagers, and they'll you know, hopefully, hopefully that relationship is still out there that I really want with them.
Were you guys always Christians or no?
Yeah, I have been.
I mean, I grew up as a Christian, and I walked away from God when I decided to marry my ex. But then when Alyssa, my oldest, was two, I was like, I want to take her to church. I want to raise her to know God and to love God. And so, yeah. And I think that's why when we tell our story, I don't love a lot of the details because I was still married when we met, and I was going through the divorce as we started dating.
Yeah.
And so I don't love it, but it is what it is. It's the truth of what we walked through. I don't think that I would recommend that to people going forward.
Yeah.
But it's where we were. It was honest. And I think that I've been saved my whole life, but you definitely have your stages with God where it's like, okay, you know, you're really walking with God, and the Holy Spirit is walking with you, and you're making sure that He's involved in every detail of your life, every role that you have as a wife and a mother and all of those things.
Right.
Okay. What were you gonna ask?
No, this is so good. I'm already crying the first like 2 minutes of this story, but
let it out.
Yeah. No, I think like I kind of want you guys to unpack like things that maybe you walked in, because I know you guys met during this time, and then obviously you've been married 11 years, so you guys got married pretty quickly after, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So like what was that like? How did you know, okay, like this is what God has for us, and like we're gonna do this, and what kind of conversations did you guys have before? Because obviously you both knew, you both had kids, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of conversation did you have to have that maybe a typical married couple with no kids probably wouldn't have to have?
Yeah. Well, I would say that as we're sitting here 11 years later, and when we talk to blended families and we coach with blended families, we say don't be as naive as we were. Because when you fall in love with somebody, and that immediate rush and that feeling, you think that it's going to all be just fine. And I think we have seen a lot of blended families walk into that where they have that love for each other. And then ultimately you can kind of, especially as Christian couples, we don't live together typically. And so you don't see the blending of the family, and you shouldn't until you're married. And you don't see the dynamics of what it's really going to look like in that everyday life with your parenting, your stepchildren, how your husband may want to discipline a different way than you do. And he sees you disciplining a certain way, and you both already have your parenting styles. You've been doing this thing. And now you're walking into it. You're not creating parenting styles together. You already have them established. And most of the time you think that the way that you've been doing it is right. And also you have this, and as much as people don't want to say this in a blended family, like, of course you choose to love your stepchildren and you choose to have that relationship, but you don't have that biological connection with that child as you do your biological children that you brought into the marriage. And so you are going to have that different feeling, that different view of parenting. And so I think a lot of those things come into play when you are walking into that marriage, and then you see your husband wanting to discipline a certain way your biological kids. And you're also dealing with the guilt of a divorce. You're dealing with the trauma of having to share custody, even under the best of circumstances. That's so hard on kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you have that, I mean, for me, mom guilt of being like, I want to soften the blow of their life. And so sometimes that's not even a good thing. Like, you need to still have your kids be like, okay, this is really hard and we have to face this. And there's trauma that needs to be dealt with and healed and walked through. But there's also the reality of, I can't let you walk down this path because I feel sad and don't want you to be sad.
Yeah.
So that's been a big, big challenge.
It could be something as simple as dessert, which should be fun, right?
Yeah.
Who gets dessert?
Dessert.
Well, your kids, our dessert family looks different than your dessert family, right?
He's not speaking from our experience.
No, I'm just saying it could be something as simple as dessert, bedtime. Yeah. What do they wear to school? You know, what do they watch? What chores do they do?
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just so these things, I think people should talk about them. Find people who have been through things before.
Yes.
Because we just felt like, our love, love will cover a multitude of sin and get you through. If you, put love first, you'll endure everything. And that's where we've had to put love first before even like, man, this situation does not look good, but we're going to love each other and endure through these moments. And I think just getting the background, the education of how to blend a family, what it's going to look like for the different individuals. I think it's huge for newly married couples blending a family, that is finding out from each individual what it looks like for them. Have a conversation. Because I think it goes to say that it's easy to think, well, the kids are just going to come along. They're resilient. They're mine anyway.
Love it.
What choice
they're
going to
love
have?
Having lots
they're
of siblings.
Lots of friends.
Yeah.
But after a while,
it's old.
It's not going to look that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fun wears off.
Yeah.
So have those conversations with your kids about what it's going to look like, and talk to them about the highs and lows that are expected and that are going to come from these situations with custody, time schedules, pickup schedules. I mean, I think there's been about 105 different combinations that we could have at any one time for the children, like who's coming over. When's
leave it
pickup?
To Saul to figure that
we
out.
We gotta, transfer this way.
Get a calendar schedule.
Yeah, yes. It's crazy. What weekends? Yeah. We've had to plan vacations.
Yeah,
we've had to miss vacations. We've been not been able to plan vacations.
Yeah,
because the kids saying, "Hey, can you guys do this in 3 months?" Well, I don't know. Well, or you might have to give up Thanksgiving to get this. You know, so it's it became very hard to live a life of normalcy, especially with, you know, holidays, schedules, things. Yeah. Things were not normal for years.
But also, to the point of more, you know, getting married with your kids and you have your kids there, it's really important, I think, that, and I wish I had done this more, to listen to your children about how they're feeling and not to fix it, but to listen and let them know that you truly are understanding what they're saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's going to change anything, but that you value and that you're there. And like making sure that they still have that time with you. I also wish I would have done that more because I feel like they would have still continued to feel that connection from us and not get lost in the chaos, which is a blended family the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm. I think you do have to put the kids, like we would even say, hey, you're going to hang out with Alyssa. I'm going to hang out with Christian. You're going to take this kid to go do this. And the problem, I think Alyssa and Christian, we were able to have them in our home a lot more. My three boys, you know, weren't really able to spend. I mean, there would be years that would go by where I'd seen them, you know, maybe two or three times in the year. Ugh, and it usually wasn't during Father's Day, you know, and or my birthday. It was, you know, so it was hard trying to build a schedule and a relationship with all the children, just with coming and going, just all the tension with our exes brought to the table. Like we've had a lot of angst against our marriage and this family. And you know, I think one thing that we have continued to you know, press in and just not call it quits, like just keep saying, you know what, the enemy's against us. The enemy was against us today, knowing that we were probably coming over here trying to get us to fight and attack each other, not literally, but you know, trying to come against us and say, you know, you're not worthy to do this, or what are you guys doing talking about marriage? Like, look at your marriage, but no, look at our marriage. Like, we've had a lot of things come against us and a lot of strife, and we've had so many miracles, not just our children, but just the relationships that, you know, I've even had with Christian, you know, him wanting to take my last name means a lot to me, not even knowing that it would be that important to him. But to have him not want to be with his dad and could care less about him but want to take my name obviously means something to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not perfect and obviously haven't done anything right even by his eyes. But that would have never come from something as terrible as a divorce, which caused pain in her, pain in the ex, pain in ripple effect family, but some of those blessings that nobody could ask for or you know, feel come from those things.
Wow. What do you think is like the biggest thing that you've had to navigate? Because like you said, you were saying how you discipline, right, is different than how you discipline or parent. And so what was that balance like, or what would you say to people who have those blended families to figure out the boundary of disciplining your bio kids, right?
Yeah.
Versus like, I'm disciplining your bio kids. Or how did you guys figure that out?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I guess I think about it and I think, oh man, if I were, hopefully never, but like, you know, but if I were in a blended family, I would be like, I'm going to just let me do the discipline for my, for my kids, you know, right now, because they have a dad or whatever. Like, how did you guys figure that out? Because that's such a unique thing that you guys had to go through.
I think it has a lot to do with the kids' ages when you get into the marriage too. So the younger the child, probably the better, you'll have better options with discipline with your step parent. So for example, when Saul and I got together, Christian, my youngest from my first marriage, was 5. And so as the years progressed, Saul could more discipline Christian because he was seen more of a fatherly figure. And Christian is 17 now. He cannot, he can't remember when his dad and I were married. And when Saul and I haven't been.
Yeah.
So that definitely played a role. But as Christian aged also and he got into teenage years, there was a you're not my dad situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that you need to be extremely careful around that, because pushing, well, yeah, I'm your stepdad, I deserve respect kind of situation, that doesn't usually work.
Yeah.
It usually backfires. And you have to think, okay, even though they were young and now we're entering teenagehood, mm-hmm. there's still stuff there. Yeah. And so I honestly think, that, and Saul said it earlier, it is so important for you to have people that you can go to who have already walked this path, because every situation is, it's not black and white. And every kid is different. Mm-hmm. So for you to say, you have these five children and we're going to do it all the same, you can't. You have to take each individual child, their mm-hmm. personality, their sensitivity level.
Yeah.
Sometimes even the things that you know what they've been through into account on all areas. And so to say, if you do A, B is going to happen. You can't. And right. so I think that's another thing that would have been a lot more considered in the beginning of our marriage. But a lot of the time, you know, if there was discipline, Saul and I would discuss it and I would administer the discipline to yeah. my biological children and vice versa for him. I mean, there were times where we had the boys a lot more when we won more custody mm-hmm. and Saul would be at work and I would have to discipline right. the boys. And I will say, you know, because I'm a mom, I'm more concerned about their feelings and, you know, want to keep the relationship stronger than, yeah. you know, than really going, okay, you know, as a man, you're kind of like,
yeah,
this is what it is. Yeah, this is what it is. And moms are more yeah. nurturing. It's yeah. just our yep. nature.
Yeah.
So Franco's like, yeah, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
100%. The way God
created
us.
Yeah, that's probably one of the bigger things in a blended family is how the discipline, like what to be disciplined for and what does that look like and who does it. And because mm-hmm. it's got to be, even though like she's saying, it should be somewhat fluid and flexible. It can't be so individualistic that, well, wait a second. I did mm-hmm. the same thing that they did
yeah.
and we live in the same house and they got time out or this taken away, but I got nothing. So, you know, so it has to be fair
right.
and pretty similar, but obviously you got to take into account.
That's a good point.
Who they are. Obviously the age is probably one of those bigger factors of how you're going to yeah. discipline. But, you know, that was probably one of the bigger challenges because, you know, just with, I think, our backgrounds and me being a male and female, I think it's pretty similar. One's more structured or disciplined, one's more nurturing and I think that played into just the conflict that discipline and blended mm-hmm. family can have. But
yeah,
I think that it was good for both of us to have each other, where I think there were times that I needed to be a little bit more lenient and maybe mm-hmm. not be so hard in this area and would listen to her. And there was times where she's like, yeah, you know what? I kind of let that go a lot. I need to put my foot down and say, you know, that's enough and be a little more firm. And, yeah. you know, I think that was good for her at times too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what marriage should be. The differences that we share as married people end up hopefully balancing each other out and work in a win-win situation.
Right.
Because we're both not perfect and both don't have it all together. But what she adds in my weakness and what I can add in her weakness, mm-hmm. You know, we come together as a team. And I think being united as a blended family is, or any family really, being huge yeah. because yeah. if you're not united, your daughter's going to go to you when mm-hmm. she wants this, and when she yeah. wants that, she's going to go to you. And
yeah.
and when she knows or he knows who to go to for what, then, you know, so you gotta be, what'd mom say? What'd dad say? All right, well, that's my answer. You know, yeah. be unified is important in mm-hmm. a family.
Yeah. Okay, I want you to unpack this. I thought about this because, so thinking about like us with kids, right? Like we came first before our kids. Mm-hmm. But you guys, different scenario. Your
yeah.
kids came before you guys ended up meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you make sure that your marriage is like, you know, God, marriage, kids, all that? How did you, or how are you making sure that your marriage is that strong household and making sure that that's like the unity that you guys have in order to reflect that? Or was that still, was that pretty difficult in the beginning of just trying to figure that out? Because obviously, you know, you did have your kids, you had your kids. And so it wasn't like you came together and had these kids. You do now.
Right.
But which we'll go into later. But like, how did you guys navigate that situation?
Oh, man.
Don't tell Court your kids. Your wife is more important than your kids. Oh, that's a big no-no.
They said that Saul was abusive.
But that was part of the problem. That was part of the problem. Being honest in God's house and how God looks at marriage and your family and not what the court thinks. Was hard for me at times because we told our kids, because mine were 6 and 8 at the time, 5 and 7 around there. And they didn't really get it, but I had to tell them, like, our marriage, you know.
You just told them the structure. God,
and when
marriage,
you guys
kids.
Leave the family, Michaela and I are still going to be here together, married. So, and it was hard. And over the years, kind of throwing that to them. But then when I find it in court papers that it goes against me that I'm now putting my kids above a stepmom, that won't look favorable. So I had to do the right thing.
Yeah, the stepmom.
I had to do the right thing by telling my kids how it should be, even knowing that it could go against me and I'd lose the benefit of being a wise father in the court's eyes. Mm. So those are hard decisions you make probably as a Christian father that you just have to say, you know what, this is the right thing to do. Yeah. And I'm going to tell them this because even though it's going to go against us, hopefully when you're married, you remember me telling you that and seeing what the world says and what God will say about marriage.
Yeah. I do feel like we went into that because we were so passionate about doing it right this time. We went into that pretty strongly, like maybe a little too strong, as you can say that.
We'll be super honest and maybe that will go good for us.
Yeah. I mean, we were really naive, you guys. Like we say all the time that we did not realize it would be as hard as it was. And you know, we have friends, you know, that are just walking into it and they're like, I don't know if we're gonna make it, and we're like barely in it. And I'm like, I get it. Like, it is hard. Marriage is hard, period.
Yeah.
Stop there. But blended marriage is just, it's something else. Yeah. Man. And so, I mean, we always really did think, you know, God, husband, kids, but there were so many times where it's choice, only a choice, because there are so many times where I feel protective over my children because of something he thinks I should be doing. And, you know, he feels like the outsider, like it's me and my biological kids and him on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of times where we had to like walk through that, had to use a therapist many times too, to navigate that. A good Christian therapist, of course, because a person of the world will say your kids need to come first. Yeah. And that is just so backwards and definitely not how we should be doing it. And it's not going to strengthen anything, because I will say now, you know, my two biological kids are 20 and 17, and my 17-year-old for sure, he sees that we've stuck it out and we continue to make our marriage first and a priority. Yeah. And that's the end game. With kids from a nuclear family, both mom and dad still together, you know, it's about getting that kid to the next year, to the next milestone. With a blended family, the dynamic changes and it's no longer just the year. You're looking at the 10-year picture because it's a different ball game because it's not going to be what it would look like in a nuclear family.
Wow.
And for them to really, really get the truth of the matter and actually believe it too. Because when you say, well, God, spouse, and then kids, well, sure. But you and dad or you and mom got divorced. So we'll see. Mm. So there's a trust factor there too that you're building with your kids, not just with your spouse. That you're saying, no, this is what we're choosing to do. It is no longer, it's not about if we feel like it, if it's all going well. Like, you literally are learning how to be more like Jesus because you are having to lay down the feelings of, you know, wanting to walk out that door and be like, this is not worth it. And because if you continue to go, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many blessings, but it is so hard to see that those blessings could be on the other side of things
when you're in it.
When you're on that.
Wow. That's good. You have any thoughts? You've been so quiet.
No, so many deep thoughts.
Well, there's like just a few technical issues happening on the back end there that I'm trying to.
What is it like changing my voice? Is it like a robot voice?
Well,
the camera.
Okay, well, everybody, Alexandra's phone ran out of storage. I don't even know if it's recording right now, but I'll put something in our place here.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
What does that mean?
I'll put like a picture of us or something instead of it. Won't be the video.
You should do a cartoon.
A cartoon,
a caricature.
I'm not quite to cartooning yet, but
I could draw it.
No,
you can it'll try. Be sticks.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome!
What are those little characters called?
Caricature.
Are they used to have the
Barbies?
No.
Polly Pockets.
It's right on the tip of your tongue.
I forgot the
one with the Feliz Navidad. The Feliz Navidad one that we did. They're like Bitmojis, but they were like they're people. They
Jib jabs.
Jib jabs.
Jib jabs.
Jib jabs.
Oh, jib jabs. Jib jabs, guys. That'd be remarkable.
Just voiceover jib
jabs. Up Christmas.
That'd be the best.
No. Yeah, so that's why I've been quiet. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, yeah, because you're thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking to make sure this continues to look as flawless as possible.
I'm sure it's going to be so flawless.
So. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Y'all guys, you have different really outfits good. On.
Just yeah. or just
hey,
come
they
in.
Changed. They changed. Yeah. The Harbins talked so long. They had to do a wardrobe change.
Oh my gosh. No, that's so good. I love all the stuff that you're bringing up because it's just flowing all naturally into your guys' story too. And so it's just so cool to see like all these practical things. Like, cause I'm like, oh my gosh, I would have never thought about like the disciplinary aspect of it, or like how do you put God first? Because now you're married, and that's biblical, and that's what you're supposed to do. And you know, just all of the little facets that you don't think about when you're just like in a like married, no kids. There's no other complexities to that other than just your own baggage. And then you know, it's just fascinating to hear about like what you guys have gone through and looked at. And so I know now you guys have two beautiful children.
Yes.
And they're so cute and so funny.
Isn't that
so
interesting?
Funny.
We wanted, like we had the five kids.
Yeah.
We still do. But we had five kids before we had Lincoln in Brooklyn. Say. But,
yeah.
And through all that stuff we were going through, it's like we wanted to have the more kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we wanted to bring more into this, which seems a little interesting with all the stuff that we went through.
Did you know that before, like when you got married, that you thought you would have more kids, or it was starting to happen once you kind of started coasting a little bit and you're like, oh,
no,
want
so
you're five or six.
Well, I mean, you can edit this out if you have to. This is the MA part, but he had a vasectomy.
That's not MA.
That's not MA. No.
Oh, well,
martial arts.
Martial arts.
This is TV 14. TV 14, guys. He had a vasectomy when we got married. Like it was already done.
No, 9 years prior.
Not like for the wedding.
9 years prior to meeting her, I already had a vasectomy.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even on my mind.
Well, but he did say he would have liked to have more kids, but I said, don't marry me if you want to have more kids because I'm done. Like I had my kids at 19 and 23.
Yeah.
I was going to be a young grandma. Like literally, but now I'm a 40-year-old mom
with a 3-year-old.
Yeah,
wait. So what made you guys change your mind then?
Yeah,
It was 2016, and actually, he was really wanting to change my mind, and I was just like, this is a huge decision, and I actually prayed about it that whole year because I really wanted to have kids with him. I was like, I wish I wanted to. Because
you didn't have that desire.
No, I was like, there's just nothing in me that wants to have kids. Yeah. And actually, I was going to a women's Bible study at my old church. And it was like this Holy Spirit day. And it was an amazing moment. I can't tell you even the exact moment, but I remember praying about it and God completely changing my heart. Mm. Completely. Like 180. I walked out of there and I called Saul and I was like, call the reversal place. We're going. And that was December.
Wait, did we already look for one before?
We had looked for one. We found one. We had a consultation, but I was just like, eh.
Yeah, we'll just, do, like, I'll do it. Just, but
like, yeah, but I don't
through.
Think so.
Yeah.
But I think the Holy Spirit Day was in December, and we flew down to Arizona to have the reversal the 22nd of December. So it was quick. So
yeah, like a couple weeks later, we were in Arizona.
Yeah.
Got the reversal.
Yeah.
Flew back to Seattle the next day.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks later, we were pregnant.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
It worked.
It was fast.
That's awesome.
It worked very
lickety
well.
Lickety split.
But yeah, that pregnancy didn't.
I did have a miscarriage.
Miscarriage. Two babies, actually. Another twin conception on my part.
Sorry, well, it's not funny. It's
I didn't conceive twins.
No, but that's so
just the way he said it. It's like another twin conception. I don't know.
Twin conception.
But the interesting, yeah. I mean, when at some point, I don't remember when it was, but it had to do with Alyssa, because Alyssa, you know, I met Alyssa at 8 years old when she was eight. And God had told me, you know, because of the lack of parenting that I was able to do, and, you know, I guess I love being a dad. God said, you know, Saul, I'm going to give you a girl from the beginning. Not just at eight, because that was the, you know, I gave you Alyssa at eight. She came in your life at eight, but I'm going to give you a daughter from zero, from the beginning.
When you met Alyssa, God told you that?
Well, at some point down the road, I don't know when it was after meeting her.
Hold up, what?
But yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get a daughter from the beginning.
So, especially since he had had... Well, we ended up having Lincoln, and he was so confused, because when we got pregnant with Lincoln and we were told it was a boy, you should have seen his face.
Did you not find out during the pregnancy?
No, we did.
You did. Okay.
But at the appointment, they told us it was a boy, and Saul looked dumbfounded. He was like, this makes no sense, because we were only going to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I had told him before, because I remember one time he was in the shower and I came in and I was like, I feel like this is going to be a boy. I feel like God needs you to have a boy. Like, he knows you need a boy. And he's like, no, that doesn't, like, he thought a girl for sure. So when we got a boy, when we had Lincoln, and we found out he was a boy before he was born. He was so shocked and confused. And I was like, God knew you needed this. And oh my gosh, Lincoln is 6 years old and it's going to get me choked up. And did God ever know that Saul needed a boy? Like, Saul is such a boy dad. And he's a girl dad now too, yeah, for sure. But he is such a rough and tumble, like, coach all the sports, be there for all the things, teach you how to be a man from just a tiny age,
so sweet,
kind of dad. And to see him with Lincoln, and of course, all of our kids are special. There's some kind of special bond between Lincoln and Saul. Mm. Like, there's like, I was trying to snuggle with Lincoln the other day, and he's like, Mom, listen, I got to spend some more time with dad. I was like, okay, thanks for nothing. I carried you. I mean, he literally is attached to Saul in such a special way. I can't even get mad about it. Like, it's just the way it should be. And so then I was like, we're going to have another one. Like, when people say, how many kids do you have? When you say seven, and they look at you like you're crazy. Like, and you kind of are. I was like, it wasn't on purpose. I don't know what to say. Yeah. This happened by accident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we were kind of on the fence about having another one, but Saul kept going, God said, I'm going to have a girl. And I was like, but for real, Saul, you've had four biological boys in a row. Mm. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, we're going to get that girl if we keep trying.
Yeah. It comes from the guy's side, right?
Yeah, it's the guy's fault for sure. No, yeah. The guy.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
Well, most of the people I know that have three boys don't have a girl.
No, and you had like, four boys.
Yeah. Well, I know, but just more boys.
All the
but
boys.
But I was like, well, you know, God's promises is what he said. So,
we decided we were like on the fence about having another one. And then I was like, okay, let's just try and see what happens. And I actually had to go to the doctor to get my IUD removed, TV-14. And so then it was like
TV-14.
I should have said it before. Sorry. Sorry, family.
So
and And it literally, I got it removed before COVID shut everything down.
Oh,
and like
you
couldn't get anything done. So that was in March. And then and I never had to try for my older two. Like I got pregnant really fast. But Lincoln, I had a miscarriage before Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And then it took like 7 months after that to have him. Mm-hmm. And so then.
What a time that was.
Yeah.
After getting pregnant 3 weeks after the vasectomy.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And then another quick pregnancy and then waiting. We had two different miscarriages. And
before
then waiting
weekend.
7 months and being like, "Well, what's yeah. going on here?"
Yeah.
Like, we got pregnant and now this waiting time.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah,
just another moment of trusting God, of his timing. And
I can't even imagine and fathom the people that go through infertility. Like, cannot. No, my heart is like, I cannot.
I
like, their strength is amazing.
I seriously mm-hmm. don't know how they do it.
No, they're amazing.
Because you would feel like there'd be fear every time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just, or just a non hope of like, well.
Well, and think of the fear as a mom. I'm sure you've experienced this too. Even like with healthy pregnancies or if you have a miscarriage, every appointment you go to and you are waiting to hear the baby's heartbeat. I mean, I don't know about you. My palms are sweaty. Like mom's spaghetti for real.
Yeah.
Every time I was like so nervous because
in the
like,
beginning for sure,
yes.
because you can't feel them kick. You can't feel them move. And so you're just like, am I still? Like, am I good? Like,
for
everything good in there? Yeah. That was always very nerve-wracking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, as a mom, that's why we need Jesus so much.
Yeah.
Because literally, it never ends. You're like, oh, now that they're here, I won't be so worried. And then you have to watch them sleep to make sure they're breathing.
Yeah.
We would go like this with Rosalina all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Put our hand on her.
I'm like, why are you so peaceful? Oh, you're a peaceful baby. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
So anyway, so
we prayed for that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
and now that it's here, what's going on?
We're questioning it all. Yeah.
But so it took about 7 months to get pregnant with Brooklyn, and literally we're moving into this house we just bought. Saul's coming back from doing construction on that house. I'm going to work and I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm pregnant. And so when we found out it was a girl, I was so shocked. And Saul goes, of course it is. Like, oh, okay.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah,
so
I mean,
expected.
That's what makes, that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Aww.
So, yeah, now we have a boy and a girl, Brooklyn and Lincoln, 6 and 3. So,
that's
Lincoln
awesome.
6, Brooklyn 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he lets her know.
Yes, he does. And so, he does.
Yeah.
And so, that's actually been a really cool thing to have in a blended family because, you know, they say, well, a baby can't bring you closer together. And sure, you don't want to have a baby to try and bring you closer together.
Right.
That's not a good purpose.
Really,
but I will say our babies have definitely blended and been the glue that kind of made us really feel connected to each other.
Mm.
And each one of the kids, no matter what they feel about the family, no matter how they feel about us, even right now, love their baby siblings so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all have a very special connection. Love, love, love them. Think they're just the cutest.
That's awesome.
And so that at least is very, I don't know. It feels so good to at least have that.
It's almost like the Holy Spirit gave you that jump start to like finalize your guys' marriage almost and bring everybody together.
Yeah.
So that when they're 25 years old and they want to come over to your house, they also have Lincoln and Brooklyn there to be able to bring everybody together.
There's another reason, because maybe they don't want to just come over to see us. You know, let's be honest.
We're
like,
really
hey,
funny though.
Hey, well, you know, hey, my 10-year-old brother's there, my 7-year-old sister's there. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like another reason to, and good thing it didn't happen in the beginning because we were just going through so much stuff.
There's no way.
Trying to have another kid and then deciding and
well, you weren't even thinking about it.
No.
So it was
too much.
There's too much going on that you couldn't even think about.
No,
yeah, let's get pregnant.
There was no way.
Yeah.
No way.
It's kind of cool too to just be telling the younger kids about their story, even when they're little. And they don't know what a lot of these things mean, but I'll tell Lincoln when I'm talking to him about we didn't know we were going to have you because we have pictures of them not in our family pictures.
And they're
and
like, where are we?
I was like, well, we were married and these were your brothers and sisters, but you weren't born yet. We weren't planning on you being here, but you know, God gave us this beautiful gift that's you. So it's a fun story to kind of tell them how they were really created in this world when they weren't, you know, really thought of prior to, you know, those days. So
that's why I think I am so grateful that God doesn't tell us what's next in our life, because a lot of the time, obviously, we want to know. We want to know what's...
I do.
I know, me too. It's a control thing, right?
Just tell me the plan. Yeah. And then I'll be good.
Yeah.
Then I just need to know.
Yeah, yeah. I'll walk it out really well if you just tell me.
Yes. Stop keeping it a secret. The Lord, come on.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is if like we knew what we had to walk through, there's no way we could handle it. No way. And so grace for today is real. And I would say with having biological kids added to a blended family, though, I am in a different place as a mother than I was with my other two, because there's this sense of appreciation that you have because of what you went through.
Yeah.
And watching, I mean, really basically it's like my round two, because my kids are so old and I had a boy and a girl in the beginning, and now I have a boy and a girl right now that are little. And so there's, I wish I had that great sense of appreciation for when my bigs were tiny.
Yeah.
But you look at it in a different way.
Yeah.
And then there's also, there's sometimes pain to watch.
Yeah.
My kids get loved by their dad, and to watch them have a good life and to know that my big kids had to walk through so much hardship.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so as much as how sweet it is to see my kids, my little ones, not have to experience that. And that definitely makes us work that much harder for our marriage. But to have that knowledge that it wasn't nearly as easy for my big kids is painful.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah. But it's such a sweet gift.
Yes.
That he's given you guys too.
Yeah.
And just even knowing that even if your kids didn't have what your little ones have now, like God has them.
Yes.
Like he knows. He'll fill in those gaps that you couldn't do. Which is like, and that's so beautiful to think about, of all the ways that I'll fail as a parent or as a wife, and like the Lord will like redeem that. Or just, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian household, and there were things that I wish that I could have had that I get to now do with my kids.
Right.
But I'm so grateful for that, because the Lord filled those gaps where I needed.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't change it. Yeah. And I don't look at my family, like coming from, you know, somebody who's not like, didn't, you know, have like the Christian household or just like the safety or whatever, you know, because I know that it was really difficult for you, knowing that like God meets those gaps, because I don't look at my parents like, oh, they did wrong. I look at my parents and I'm like, I'm really grateful. Mm. Like I am. Like, yeah, I, you know, because I don't look at them as they were to blame, because I'm like, God filled it.
Yeah.
I needed you, but I needed him more.
Yeah.
And like, I needed the Lord more. Not him, but like the Lord. I pointed to you, but I meant up. I did need you. Yeah. But I love that about God. It's like he fills these little pieces of people's stories, and it's like one of my favorite things. And that's why we love doing this, because we just have a heart for having people hear just real stories.
Yeah.
And people that are just doing life, that are doing life together, doing life with Jesus, figuring it out. Like, of course, you guys don't have everything mastered. You're still walking through certain things, but that's the beauty of it, because we can still learn from the things you've already gone through or the things that you're going through right now. And we're not perfect by any means, but we know that our stories can impact people.
Yes.
And that's like the just amazing thing about people's stories. Testimonies change people.
Yeah,
and I wish there was more things that, like, when you asked the question about things that people could do going into these things, like, we didn't, I guess that, you know, 12 years ago, there weren't as many things readily available, I don't think, is blended families, because we looked for, like, who's talking about blended families? Yeah. Where there wasn't this plethora of information of blended stuff. So not that we sought most of it out, but when we did, it was newer information or just, like, not tons out there. And I would say getting involved in that stuff early, if you know, not that that is part of the story, but, you know, the blended people that are working on blended family should look into, you know, one of the biggest things, I think, for knowing the kids and how they relate in this blended family realm is getting to know their love languages and asking them, you know, if you have five or six kids or four or three in a blended family, you might miss those marks if you're trying to relate to them all the same, and finding out how they receive that love, because it's probably going to be different. And if you're not aware of those things, you know, you could be missing one of the children, and, you know, it's important to try to reach all of them because they're all feeling some pretty heavy things going through the divorce. So, but thank you guys for doing these things, because, like you said, you're just out there putting the word out for people to just share stories and learn from things. And I wish we had more of these situations and things to learn from when we were going through the beginning stages, because could have helped us miss, you know, some things that we went through that, you know, but maybe we wouldn't be here to talk about it now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, even Focus on the Family has a amazing Christian author who writes about step families, Ron Deal. And so we've done a bunch of his books, but he doesn't even come from a blended family. God just put it on his heart to help blended families. And he does an amazing job.
Right.
But it is a totally different feeling when to have an actual blended family. And And I feel like I see a lot of when people blend and they say, well, he loves my children just like they're his own. And oh, everybody just gets along so great. Everything's going so well. There's a sense of shame for people who don't feel like that's their story. And it's probably not their story either, to be quite honest. You know, there has to be a realness about, we have to be okay with talking about the hard things about marriage and the hard things about blended family life and being a parent, or else people feel alone because they're like, well, then I'm the only one that feels this way, or I'm the only one going through that. Like, there should be no shame.
Right. Absolutely.
At all. It should be out in the open and very clear to people that if you are struggling, you have to be able to reach out to people that are further down from you, that you know will speak life into you and life into your marriage and call you to better things and not just selfish things. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely key. And the enemy definitely wants to isolate you and wants you to be separate from your church community, your life groups. I mean, I think one of the hardest things for us has been, you know, we keep doing these blended family life groups, and it's so hard for people to stay committed. Because either we've had people fight in our blended family group, like they are having a fight, like they want us to choose sides. And that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like, Jerry. And so... And so it's like, guys, this isn't the time or the place.
Yeah.
But it's like,
that's why we bolt our chairs down.
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, it's like, that's super not appropriate, but get to the life group. If you're fighting, fight on the way to life group, but just get there. Right. Because like Saul said, you know, the enemy, especially when you do things that are going to impact marriages, families, and you're going to be a light for your community.
Yeah.
He's going to for sure want to stop you. Like,
yeah.
Give you a headache. Give you a fight in your marriage. Make it a really rough day parenting.
Yeah.
There's going to be
people
stuff.
Cancel on you and not show up. And
yeah. No, we've already felt that.
Yeah.
Like, even just from starting this, I'm going to be transparent. But, like, it's just, it's not even that we, like, fight more. It's just, like, we're not, like, connecting as much as we did because we're like, figuring this out, figuring that out, parenting, you know, and balancing it all. And I'm like, this is weird.
Yes.
And then, you know, I'm like, wait a second. But we knew this was going to happen. Yeah. We had to, like, be like, wait a second. Of course, because we're doing something that we know is pivotal to family structure, to good, rounded citizens. Like, is having a healthy marriage, a healthy family dynamic. And, of course, he like the enemy attacks that.
Yes. Yeah.
And so
if the devil can stop the husband, then he's got the family most times.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if he gets to the husband, he gets to the family, he has destructed the biggest nucleus that God has created. And so when you want to do this and share, talk to people about it, like, yeah, the devil is going to do what he can to get in your way. And it seems like time after time, we're either going to a marriage group, having people over, something comes up that day that is like trying
always.
To get us.
That's happened to us always.
Yes.
Every time. Every time.
Yes. And seriously, I'll say it like every time we have a life group, I'm like, did you guys fight on the way here? Be real. Did you? Because I mean, like, it's for sure a thing. So the enemy definitely wants to stop us from trying to grow and keep our marriages going.
Yeah.
So that's good to point out. Get into a life group and fight on the way there. And then maybe talk about it if you'd like.
Yeah.
And I really hope this camera's working. I'm not 100% sure.
We'll see.
So too.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Saul and Michaela. You guys want to shout anything out? Maybe you want to shout out your Zumba class or your business?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
people can connect with you maybe.
Because you still teach Zumba.
Oh, yeah. I definitely still teach Zumba. I have a boot camp. I have like a bunch of coaching different options.
Where can we find that?
What?
Where can we find that kind of stuff?
You can please find me on my Instagram.
Which is?
Well, I have two Instagrams. So, okay, P.S. And by the way, my big kids said they'd pay me to change my Instagram name. And I said, no, I'm going to represent it even harder now. It is Michaela Harden Up In Here.
Yes. Up In Here. Okay.
Yeah. And I
love it.
Yeah. My kids are like, please change it, Mom. I'm like, never. Yeah,
that's long.
Yeah, but it's
Michaela
amazing.
Michaela Harden Up In Here.
But if you read it,
what if most people don't know how to spell Michaela? That can be a problem.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Nobody we'll spells
tag
it right.
We'll yeah, tag can
it.
You just tag it?
Yeah.
And then my other one is Michaela Moves You.
Michaela Moves You.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And she'll move you up in here.
I will. I was going to say, not just in dancing.
That's great. So if you guys want to do Zumba or do a boot camp, we'll link those down here.
And we also do blended family coaching and things like that. So we're certified with that because during COVID, we were like, we need to do something.
No, that's awesome.
And
well, it feels like the biggest things that end up having a big impact in your life, the biggest pains, you can use towards your biggest moments, helping people and helping yourself get through those things. So why blended families and marriage become so important in my life is because they've been the hardest things to work through. And I want to share anything that can help anybody that, you know, gets through another, you know, day, not just gets through, but thrives. Cause there's been some, you know, really great moments. There's been some bad moments, but you know, our marriage from everything that we've been attacked with, we have a really good, strong marriage that I think from, you know, the foundation of God, being able to forgive each other, ask for forgiveness and just be willing to say, you know what, our marriage, our love is stronger than what we're fighting about. And you mean more to me than what we're fighting about. So I'll change. Let's figure this out. Let's keep working, you know, day after day and, you know, just put your best foot forward.
That's great.
I love it.
Any other businesses you guys run by chance? No?
Man, now I'm feeling like I should like.
Maybe they should write a book.
Well, just in case you guys
want,
we want to make sure that you get shouted out. If you guys
we started a YouTube channel 10 years ago and we said we'll see you next week. So it's been a long week. We haven't been back yet.
I think it's like you were saying that person has this book about blended families but hasn't experienced it. Not that you can't speak on things when you haven't experienced it, but there's a different authority when you've experienced it yourself. That when you talk about it, you have a different way of communicating. And God, I've just seen it time and time again. God just uses it.
Yes.
You know, because it's part of who you are and your DNA. And so maybe you should just write a book.
Oh, I totally agree. It's coming up.
Send it.
And Saul's rap song will be dropping very
soon. Look
out
for the diss track on their 10-year-old.
What is
YouTube
that?
Channel.
What is that YouTube channel? Because we should link the rap YouTube.
You should. So he wrote a rap for my birthday.
It needs to be edited though. So
yeah,
that way.
Like this is legit.
No, he was. He's like really
in a studio. headphones, mic. I haven't, you know, had a what are they called? A background guy, vocal.
A background check.
Oh, sick.
Background vocal, two guys, you know.
Oh, yeah,
that's awesome.
That's definitely MA, though. That was back in the college.
Yeah, this is like 1999, so, you know.
Okay. TV rating MA.
We'll leave that in the comments also.
No, don't link it. Definitely don't link it. No link in the song.
He's like, we'll leave it in the comments. No, she said MA. She said MA. Yeah.
Now that he's changed his ways.
If I can find a good editor, there's some good parts to it.
Yeah, it'll be mostly silent. Aww. Instrumental.
That's amazing. Well, thank you guys.
Well, yeah, thank you, Michaela and Saul, for coming on the podcast and talking about blended families. Sorry I was distracted, everybody. Just technical difficulties. Still learning how to do this well, so.
It's real.
But thanks for covering for me while I was doing that. I appreciate that.
You guys are doing awesome. Oh, thank you.
I didn't know we were covering, but sure.
You guys did it.
We covered well.
Good. Yes, they did it on purpose. He's lying. Yes. He knew it the whole time.
The whole time.
But yeah, if you guys want to leave a like, or a subscribe to the YouTube channel, or follow us on With the Bozos for more hard-hitting content like this.
Rate the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Rate the podcast. Like the podcast. Help us out. Tell us what we can do better. And we'll see you next time. Peace.